Welcome into a fresh episode of Fireside Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. Well, it's another wild week in the world of sports. Hope you guys are staying in tune out there. There's a lot going on. We got the Blazers off to a roaring start, the Portland Trail Blazers. They're 10-3. They've got a big road trip coming up, 6 games in 2 weeks, with a major holiday being Thanksgiving in the middle of it. It's going to be a doozy. Who knows what to expect? And after that, you've got the Seattle Seahawks are, we're not really sure what to expect of them yet. We're really figuring them out. They're figuring themselves out. We're going to see how it goes as it goes. They've got a big game this week. I mean, really from here on out, every game's a big week and a big game. It doesn't get much bigger than this week because they've got one of their hated rivals coming to town on Thursday Night Football. We'll touch on that. We've got Le'Veon Bell news. We've got some Carmelo Anthony chatter. The Warriors are coming apart at the hinges. Just so many things going on in the world of sports right now. It's a little ridiculous. You got the Los Angeles Rams playing the Kansas City Chiefs this week. Supposed to be in Mexico City. That's since been changed. Now it's going to be an official home game for the Rams due to some field issues that didn't go their way down in Mexico, that they're going to change the game to be a true home game for the Rams. So I guess if you're stateside, that's good news for you. You've got a shot at some tickets now. And really cool turn of events, the Rams have offered tickets to emergency responders in light of the wildfires. So really cool thing for the NFL to do, even though, you know, this kind of screws a bunch of Mexican fans out of getting to see one of their favorite sports that they don't get a lot of chances to because the international games don't usually go south of the border. They typically go to across the pond to London, or they have had some up north in Canada, but really only a couple down in Mexico so far. So not very cool for them to do that, but you know, there were apparently some concerts and some other games that took place there, and it just didn't go the way they wanted it to, so they decided to move it back up here to a field they could control. So we'll see how that game goes. That's Monday Night Football. A lot of really cool NFL action this week in prime time. You've got Thursday night, Seattle hosting Green Bay. That should be a fun one. Sunday night, you get Minnesota traveling to Chicago. That should be a really cool pre-playoff game. And then Monday night, you get Los Angeles hosting Kansas City. And some really good games in between. I mean, it's going to be a really fun week in the NFL. I know that a lot of weeks there's some really duds on primetime. And I, for one, will say I, a lot of the time, don't want to watch the primetime games on the NFL because they're just not as good as some of the other games that are on at 10 a.m. Sunday morning. And that's the fault of the schedulers. They ought to look at this and see who, I mean, they know who the elite teams are going to be, and they just misread it year after year, and I don't get it. I mean, San Francisco was supposed to be an elite team this year, so were the Giants, but why they were playing each other on Monday Night Football, they ought to have something like Sunday Night Football does where they can flex a better game into that schedule. They shouldn't be stuck with teams that nobody wants to watch, but here we are week after week getting Monday Night Football shoved down our throats. Luckily, this week it's a good game, so we'll really look forward to that one. We'll get into that matchup a little later on. Really quick, Le'Veon Bell, not going to play football this year, not for the Steelers anyway. He has officially passed on his franchise tag and is no longer available to play in the 2018-2019 season. He is officially going to be a free agent next year. There are still some parameters that could keep him under control of the Steelers, but those are pretty much long shots. I don't think they want anything to do with him more than he wants anything to do with them. He's already, apparently today, right before he officially passed on his franchise tender, he opted to vote for James Conner, his fill-in starter, as the Pro Bowl running back for the AFC, which is pretty neat. I mean, it's funny because you know Le'Veon Bell has a sense of humor, but it's also really funny because he's taking time out of his day to do that, knowing that the guy's going to get votes from just about everybody else. It doesn't have to be from him. So it's just kind of funny that he took his time to do that, but he didn't report to the team or formally announce to them that he wasn't coming. I mean, he just waited till the 1 o'clock Eastern or 4 o'clock Pacific franchise tag tender week 10 deadline to end. And here we are. We don't know what to do after this. It is what it is. He's going to be a free agent next year. There are some loopholes that could get in his way where they could tag him again, but it'd have to be at a top five salary in the NFL, not just running back. So they'd have to pay him something ridiculous, like $30 million for 1 year. unlikely they're going to do that with James Conner sitting there. But, you know, stranger things have happened. We'll see what happens next year. The most likely scenario is that he walks and becomes a free agent, and some team is going to give him the money he wants. He's looking for something in the neighborhood of what Todd Gurley and David Johnson got this offseason. And, you know, obviously he's as good or better than both of those guys. You know, not taking anything away from Todd Gurley, he's an amazing talent, but I'd be curious what Le'Veon Bell could do with that Rams lineup. I mean, Todd Gurley's amazing, don't get me wrong. It's just Le'Veon Bell has been proven commodity for year after year, and we've only seen one really stellar year out of Todd Gurley. This year, obviously, we'll make number two. We'll see what happens in the years to come, but as teams figure out Sean McVay's offense, we might see a little bit of a backup on Todd Gurley's freight train, but we'll see. Le'Veon Bell, obviously, every year he's been healthy, has been a tremendous talent and a top two running back. You can't really say that about a lot of other guys, so whoever wants to pay up is going to get it. I'm really worried that New England is going to be the team that wants to sign him, and he'll go there just to win a title and then walk away and go get his money again elsewhere, but wouldn't be surprised to see him go somewhere else. Like, let's say the 49ers decide they want to take a swing at him. They've got Jimmy G, they've got Richard Sherman. They could use Jerick McKinnon as a backup. Matt Breida really doesn't seem like he's capable of handling a full-time workload with the injury concerns he constantly has. Maybe they should go after him, you know, put Gurley and Bell head-to-head in the NFC West. That'd be a lot of fun. I mean, I know Seattle would love to have him, but they might have struck gold on two of their running backs, and neither of them are very expensive right now. We'll get into more of that later, but obviously, it'd be fun to see Russell Wilson play alongside Le'Veon Bell, but I'm not sure they'll have the draw to get him there. I'm sure that he likes Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, but I'm not sure that's the part of the West Coast that a lot of players are drawn to right now. I mean, I'm from here. I love the Northwest. I love Portland, love Seattle. I would want to come here, but I totally understand that for a guy who lives and trains in Miami in the offseason, probably not someone that wants to come and live in Seattle full-time. So you never know, though. I mean, Marshawn Lynch loved it here, and obviously that could be a guy he could reach out to and talk to him about that. But the difference is that Marshawn Lynch was also a hard-hitting running back who liked to play a lot of inside-the-tackle running. Le'Veon Bell likes to be involved in a passing game. He likes to be a receiver, but he's also said he doesn't want 400 touches in a season. So I guess he wants mega money, but he doesn't want mega impact. He wants to get paid to only work half time. I don't understand that. So he'd probably be better off going somewhere like Philadelphia, where they've got three or four guys they can rotate in, get a decent contract, know that you're on a contender. You don't have to move very far. He's from the Midwest, so maybe he'd go somewhere like Detroit or Chicago. That'd be really scary if he goes to Chicago. Their offense is good enough without him, but who knows? Maybe Green Bay or something like that. That'd be neat to see Aaron Rodgers get a crack at future Hall of Fame running back while he's still playing. But unlikely the Packers spend the money. And unless he wants to go there to win a championship, which would be the same story with the Patriots, who knows where he's going to go. So we've also got, coming up this week, we've got Thursday Night Football, Seattle hosting Green Bay. That's going to be a fun one. We'll get into that in a minute. First and foremost, the Portland Trail Blazers are 10-3. They start off a six-game road trip at LA, facing the Lakers for the third time in this short season. They've split those games so far. They have to go into six different cities over the next six games. Two of them are in California, so not too far from home. But my take is, no matter how good that team is, if you put them on a plane and send them on six different flights, and you have to train and practice against professional athletes and play in six different cities in 14 days, with a major holiday being Thanksgiving coming up in the second week of that trip, that's a long haul. I know that I'm not the world's greatest traveler. I don't particularly love to travel. I'm sure a lot of you stick your nose up at hearing that it's such a beautiful world and see all of it as much as you can, and I totally understand that. I love being in other places. I don't necessarily like going to the other places. If they could find a way to make a molecular transport work where I can just snap my fingers and I'm transported to another place in the world, I would see anywhere you want, but flying on planes and spending all that time in airports, I mean, people talk about how glamorous it is to travel. They must really love airport lounges, because that's what you do most of the time. So that's the Portland Trailblazers in a nutshell over the next 2 weeks. They've got matchups with L.A., Milwaukee, Washington. I'm blanking on one. They've got Golden State, and there's another one in there that I'm missing. But they've got six games they've got to play, and they're against pretty decent opponents, too. So none of these are really gimmies. So that's going to be interesting. And, you know, honestly, I'm looking at it going, they're going to drop at least two of these. I think 4-2 is the best they can do. I'm not sure what you guys think out there in the Twitterverse or the interwebs, but honestly, I think any team going better than 4-2, that's really asking a lot, especially going coast to coast and stopping in six different cities. It's crazy. So they'll come home after they play the Warriors, and they'll get the Clippers at home. This team, I mean, after they do that, if they pulled off, they'll be 14-5. That's just nuts going into December. And we know that they typically have a bit of a skid in January. So I'm hoping that this year they get some rest. Because the other thing is that Damian Lillard, their star point guard, superstar point guard, MVP candidate so far this year, has been off to a crazy pace. We're not sure you can keep up with it, but we hope he can. He's got a knee injury right now. It's not supposed to be serious. He's not supposed to miss any time. But just seeing Damian Lillard has a bum knee right now really scares me a little, because if he's out of the lineup, they don't really have anybody that can step in and take his place. CJ McCollum can obviously keep the scoring going, and he's a really good distributor of the ball as well. He can play the point if you need him to. You've also got Seth Curry, who's on the team now, signed away from Dallas. He's decent, not great, but, you know, in fill-in minutes, he's been good so far. You've also got Nick Stauskas, or Sauce Castillo, as some of you more affectionately know him. He could play a little bit of the two, I guess, if you need him to. And then, you know, the other problem is you've got no Mo Harkless still. You've got Evan Turner, so you've got some depth in your backcourt. And the front court is obviously off to a roaring start, but I just feel like this road trip, man, they're going to lose at least two of these. I'm not sure about three because the matchups aren't blowing me away, but I just feel like they're going to lose one of these and then another one. And then if they get fatigued, or if they have some guys missing games, or let's say Lillard's injury is a little bit more serious than we thought, that could definitely change the tune of how they fare. But I think out of the gate, just staring at the matchups that they're looking at, 4-2 looks pretty good. Coming out 14-5 after all that, that'll be pretty impressive. And continue an already impressive opening to their season. We'll see what they do with it from there. They've got so much talent, and you know, they seem to have the league figured out right now. But it's so early, we really won't know until March what they've really got, because that's when the rest of the league really wakes up. So really, Christmas Day, or 12/25 to those of you who don't celebrate Christmas or don't recognize Christmas, however you want to look at it, that's the day that the league really has their official launch. I mean, right now, it's not preseason, but these games don't really matter. The games don't really count till after Christmas, when everyone's ramping up for the second half of the season. They go on their big push, they take the All-Star break in February, and then after that, it's the rush for the playoffs and getting seeding lined up. A lot of teams win, you know, 10 or 15 games right now. They take a few off, whether they admit it or not. They are, I promise. You watch some of those games, you're not getting the best out of some of these superstars. They don't take nights off, but they take parts of games off, and they look at the schedule and go, you know, if we win these 15, it doesn't matter if we lose these couple. I'm sure that there's a lot of people out there that would stick their nose up at that statement, but short of actually resting your starters, that's really all you can do to preserve their health and rest and give them fresh legs for the playoff push and then into the postseason, which runs from April to June if you make it all the way. So if you play the whole regular season and all of the postseason, you're playing from the end of October till the first week in June. That's nuts. And you're doing cross-country road trips the entire time. It's just bonkers how much these guys travel. So that's it for the NBA on this episode. So we'll move over to the NFL, because we got a lot to talk about there. Starting with the Seattle Seahawks. They recently lost to the Rams yet again, in a heartbreaking fashion yet again. They could have had both games. They lost them both. They're 0-2 on that side of their division. They still have two games to go against San Francisco, and they have beaten Arizona once. So in the division, Seattle is 1-2 with three games to go. Not looking great. LA, on the other hand, is undefeated in the division, and they're also 9-1. So
Seattle sitting at 4-5. I don't love their chances to make the playoffs this year. It will take a lot. I'll say that. They don't have a seriously brutal second half schedule, but it's not easy either. They do, as I mentioned, have games coming up against the 49ers and the Cardinals. I expect them to win at least two of those three. They've got some other matchups coming up, most importantly this week against Green Bay. It's their first home game in a while. It's actually the first one they've had since they hosted the Rams last month. Before that, they hosted Dallas. They've only actually had two home games this year. So having four to go is going to be really interesting. Actually, I believe five. They've got this one. I honestly don't recall if they were the home team in London, but I believe they were. So that counts against them. So they may only have seven home games this year, which I don't need to tell you, but I will. That really helps the team struggle because all those games being played on the road and you don't have as many home contests as you're used to get right and get fresh and see your family, see your friends, go home. I mean, I know all of us, when we are on a road trip, that's the first thing we think about is going home and having some time with the things that we know and love and rely on. And it's just different when you're away from home that much and you don't feel right. And I know they're paid a lot of money and they're privileged, but at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And these guys, they have home lives also that they miss when they're on the road. And I'm just curious if Seattle's going to be able to handle this the rest of the year being short a home game. But they get the Packers this week. Green Bay is arguably as desperate or more desperate than Seattle right now. They are, I believe, 4-3-1. It doesn't look good for them to make the playoffs either. They're in just a brutal division right now with Minnesota and Chicago. It won't get any easier from here. They're on the road at Seattle this week. They've got Chicago coming up on the road, Minnesota on the road. I believe they have a home game against Detroit. You know, they lost a couple of really tough games at New England and at LA. It just hasn't gone their way this year. They've been riddled with injuries, but you can't use that excuse because everybody's had injury problems. Every team in the league has, I promise you. And it just gets tougher and tougher as the weather gets colder. They're playing outdoors a lot. They don't really have a whole lot of dome teams that they play, except for Minnesota. Still kind of frightening that they have a dome up there, but it's probably for everybody's best interest. But so Green Bay comes to Seattle this week. It's actually supposed to be clear skies and cold. It's going to be in probably the low 40s by the time of kickoff. I believe the high that day is only like 54. And being right on the bay, it gets really cold at CenturyLink at night with all those winds coming in. It's right off the water. It's chilly up there, man. So I don't think that Green Bay will struggle with that because they are from Lambeau, obviously, the frozen tundra. But I don't know. The wind chill off water is just a little bit different than off, you know, Midwest fields. It's just different. So we'll see how they respond to that. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers does not fare well in Seattle in the Pete Carroll / Russell Wilson era. I believe he has zero wins in Seattle during that time. So he's obviously had a couple close calls. 2014 NFC Championship game, obviously the biggest strike amongst them that, you know, the Packers thought they should have had that one, and Seattle ripped it from their claws and won it fair and square, and they went to the Super Bowl and Green Bay didn't. And it's been interesting ever since because we're not really sure what to expect. But when these two teams play each other, you know, anything can happen. And Rashard Penny had a breakout game last week with Chris Carson missing another game due to a hip injury. The word so far is that Carson's probably going to miss this game, so you'll probably see Penny getting the bulk of the carries in this one as well. He played really well against the Rams, and the Rams have one of the best interior lines on defense in the entire league, so it really was impressive to see how well he ran. He eclipsed 100 yards, had a touchdown, could have had another one, caught a couple passes, ran some routes, looked really sharp. And Mike Davis, as good as he is, he's really better as the auxiliary runner, as the lightning to someone else's thunder or vice versa, however you like to say that. And CJ Procise, he's starring in a movie called Glass later on this winter, so I'm not sure that he's the guy you want starting. So I think it's going to be a heavy three-man rotation, but I think you'll see mostly Penny at the front of that because he's a big guy. He can handle the load. He can burst through Green Bay's line, even though Green Bay's got a pretty underrated defensive line. But they have had some injuries. We'll see how they hold up. They don't travel well. They're 0-4 on the road this season, and it's looking ugly for them. You know, there's so much talk about getting Aaron Rodgers back and having a healthy Hall of Fame quarterback and how much that was going to project them as a Super Bowl favorite. And now they're struggling to get a 500 record. So anything can happen if they make it. But I just, you know, even being a fan of the franchise, I don't see them as the team to beat this year in either conference or in the playoffs. So I do think that Seattle being at home gives them the edge. Honestly, in this matchup, whoever was at home this week, I would give the edge to. I'm giving it to Seattle. I think they'll close it out. I think they'll make things uncomfortable for Green Bay. They're so good at doing that with the mystique of CenturyLink, which if that's not a trademark slogan, please do, because that's the best I can do for you. The mystique at CenturyLink. It doesn't quite rhyme, but it almost does. They square off at 5:20 Pacific this Thursday. I believe you can catch the game on Fox, on Amazon Prime, and on NFL Network. It's going to be a good one. Russell Wilson versus Aaron Rodgers. Not exactly for all the marbles, but this could be the game that turns around their season depending on which one wins it. But it's going to be a fun one. Hopefully a lot of points scored, and I hope that it's not an on-the-ground game because neither team can run the ball especially well. Seattle, I believe, leads the league in rushing and rushing attempts. But you've got to score points. You got to finish drives, and both teams struggle with that, especially late in the game. They're not good at coming from behind. They're not good at staying awake in shootouts. They've got to score and then protect the lead. That's what they need to do. So if they're going to insist on running the ball, my vote would be jump out to an early lead, couple touchdowns at least, and protect it. Make the other team really earn it. And we'll see if they can do that. I don't like their chances, but we'll see. So, you know, and if they don't pull that off, Seattle anyway, this is going to be a rough season for them because even though, as I said, they've got three or four pretty easy wins against the NFC West coming up in the bottom of the division, outside of that, they've got a lot of really good teams they got to play. So I don't think this season's going to get any easier for them if they can't pull this one out. If they lose it, they'd be at 4-6 and looking at most likely needing to win out the rest of the way to make the playoffs in an absolutely stacked NFC. And I just don't think that's a realistic goal right now. Green Bay is in a similar boat. If they lose, it'd be 4-4-1, and same thing. Probably need to win their next few games, win out to get to the playoffs. Neither team is going to most likely win their division, so they got to hope for a wild card shot. But I'm just not sure that's going to happen. It's going to be a tough wild card race. You've got Carolina, who's probably going to be second in the NFC South after New Orleans, and you've got Minnesota or Chicago, which one of those two finish second in the NFC North, because I don't think Green Bay can win it. And those are most likely your two wild cards. Atlanta's still on the hunt. Philadelphia and Washington are battling for the lead in the NFC East. Right now, Washington has it by two games. We'll see if that lasts. But it makes it very difficult for Seattle and Green Bay to get in as a wild card. They're probably going to have to win out the rest of the way, whichever one of them loses this game. And whichever one doesn't, probably has the pressure of a one loss the rest of the way, and they're going to have to be really careful about that game being in conference or in division. That's going to really mess them up, so we'll see what they do with that. But make sure you tune in Thursday night. Should be a fun one. A lot of good primetime football this week. And then we've got, finally, the Rams and the Chiefs, which this is the game that I've been really circling for a long time, ever since I saw that they were going to play each other after the hot start that both of them had. It's just been incredible to see the amount of points these two teams have put up. As I mentioned earlier, if you're just checking in, the game has been officially moved to Los Angeles. It will be played at the Coliseum, where the Rams are playing host right now. That USC is playing host to them right now, while their other stadium is built. And I believe they're moving into that next year, maybe the year after. I'm not really sure. I'm sure they have all the facts if you want to check with them. But this game could be the highest scoring regular season game we've seen in the modern era. If you go back to 1970, the highest scoring game since then, I believe, was in 2004, and I believe it was 106 points combined. This game has the highest over-under opening, at least, since 1986, and I believe 113 in the 60s is the highest combined score between two regular season opponents. Playoffs, I believe, is lower, but we'll just, I believe anyway, because I believe it was Rodgers versus Warner in 2009. I believe they eclipsed 90 points, something like that, and I think that was the highest at the time. Might have been broken since then, but at the time, that was the highest scoring playoff game ever. So if these two teams each score 50, 60 points, I think that will still be underwhelming because they're such amazing offenses. There's so many different weapons. I mean, obviously, it's sad that the Rams lost slot receiver Cooper Kupp for the season. He had already had some injuries this year. He had a concussion that he sustained against Seattle. Then the horrible horse collar tackle that he sustained against Denver. And then he comes back, and he's looking like he's getting his groove back, and he's going to run routes the way he used to. And he has a non-contact injury. They fear the worst, and the worst is what was confirmed. Torn ACL, out for the rest of the year. We'll hope he can come back early next year, but, you know, it really depends on how fast he rehabs and how good the surgery goes. We'll see about that. And then on the Chiefs side, you know, you've got Sammy Watkins, who has a perpetual foot injury, so I don't know if we should really worry about that, but they have so many other options. They have Tyreek Hill. They have Travis Kelce. They have they have some other receiving talent. They have Kareem Hunt, who's one of the best running backs in football. You know, young Todd Gurley, you might say, even though Todd Gurley's not exactly old. I think he's only in his third or fourth year in the league. And then on the Rams, they, you know, even though they lose Cooper Kupp, they still have Tyler Higbee. They still have Robert Woods. They still have Brandon Cooks. They still have Todd Gurley. They still have Jared Goff. Patrick Mahomes on the other side of the field. Neither team is really impressing anyone with their defense, but they're scoring so many points that I don't even know that it matters. So you've got all that going on, and you're going to be playing in sunny California on a clear evening on Monday Night Football. Not much more you can ask for. I really don't usually appreciate Monday Night Football matchups, but I cannot wait for this one. I hope that it's going to be a Super Bowl preview. If these two teams get a rematch, it's going to have to be in Atlanta in the Mercedes-Benz Dome for the Super Bowl played in February. Since they're not in the same conference and not in the same division, this is the only time they're playing this year unless they both make it to the Super Bowl, so I'm hoping for just a juggernaut of a game. They're both 9-1. That's nuts. I believe the last time we had a game of this magnitude was you had to go back to 2007, and you had, I believe, the 9-0 Patriots playing the 8-1 Colts, something like that. Peyton Manning, Tom Brady blew the roof off. I believe they were playing in Indianapolis, and the game went down to the wire. Last possession, won. It was just crazy. And even before that, you had in 2007, you had, I think the same season, you had the Packers and the Cowboys both at something like 10-1. It was crazy. And they had a really neat Thursday Night Football matchup, and it went down to the wire, and that was a lot of fun. So I'm hoping this is another one that comes down to the wire that we remember for a long time. But even no matter what it is, it's going to be fun to watch because these two offenses are just crazy. It's really the Jacksonville and St. Louis matchup we wanted in 1999 when Kurt Warner was the MVP and the Rams were the greatest show on turf. And you had Jacksonville in the AFC that was lighting people up with their offense. And we wanted to see a Super Bowl matchup and we didn't get it. But, you know, maybe it's just coming 10 years later. But it's just crazy to see how many points these teams are going to score. Patrick Mahomes already has 31 touchdowns. He may get another 30 in this game, the way the Rams secondary has been playing. But no matter what happens, it's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you tune in. You know, don't break any plans for it, guys. But make sure if you're home and you got nothing better going on, you have this one on the tube because it's going to be a lot of fun. And that about does it. We're coming in on 30 minutes. We always promise to get you guys out in 30 minutes or less. We know you guys got busy lives, so do we. We like to entertain you with sports factoids and lightning rounds. But at the end of the day, you've all got stuff to do, so appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you add us on Twitter, at Oregon Sports Guy. We are a product of Oregon Sports News. Make sure you follow them. Follow our hosts, Casey Mabbitt, at Oregon Sports Guy, and Bryant Knox, at Bryant Knox on Twitter. And also, make sure if you have any suggestions, send them for our lightning round questions to firesideosn@gmail.com. Our producer is always happy to get those and load them into our weekly report that we have to blindly answer 5 knee-jerk questions and explain our answers on there. So apologies to listeners tonight. Bryant Knox couldn't be here. He's out with an emergency, but hopefully he'll be back next week. We'll catch him then. And hope you all have a happy Thanksgiving. Stay safe out there. Don't eat too much. Don't drink too much. Don't do anything that you shouldn't do. You all know what the rules are. Please make sure you follow them and stay safe. Take care of each other. Thank you for listening. This has been Fireside Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm Casey Mabbitt, filling in for Casey Mabbitt and Bryant Knox. Hopefully, we'll both be back next week. Thanks, guys. Stay classy and stay tuned.